Hi, this is Niklas Kouperanis, CEO and co-founder of Bloomberg Group, and you are listening to Professionally Cannabis.
Hey there, listener, and welcome back to the Professionally Cannabis podcast. Today, I am happy to say that I'll be joined by Niklas Kouperanis, co-founder and CEO of Bloomwell Group. With Germany leading the way down the green path of European cannabis, Niklas, as the head of an organization that closed one of the largest seed investment rounds publicly known of in the European industry, is the perfect person to lift the lid on everything cannabis in the country. With all this in mind, there's only one thing left to say. Niklas, welcome to the Professionally Cannabis podcast.
Thanks a lot, Jonathan, and it's a pleasure being here. Looking forward to the pod.
Absolutely. Well, it's a pleasure having you here, Niklas. And as you all know, our first and customary question on the pod is, what led you to the plant?
So, Jonathan, I have to admit that at first it was not the plant itself, but the huge market potential I saw in the industry, which actually led me to the plant. My mother's born in the US, so despite my Greek, like you heard with the name, my German roots, I'm also a US citizen. And part of my family lives in San Diego, California. So we have been traveling to the US a lot. I saw the cannabis industry emerging actually in California back in 2015, and the entrepreneurial opportunity and the potential which actually occurs when a new market opens up really set me on fire, right? So I got very electrified immediately and promised myself when this ever happens in Germany, I will jump on that opportunity and jump on the cannabis train. And my hopes actually became reality pretty fast. And I saw a shift in regulations happening at the end of 2016, which actually led to the medical legalization of cannabis in March 2017 in Germany. So I joined the industry immediately and actually was one of the first in Germany who ever sold a gram medical cannabis under the new regulations.
And as one of the first operators in Germany at the time, how would you compare the early stage medical cannabis landscape in the country then to what we're seeing now?
I mean, at the beginning, of course, before medical legalization, let's start there because that's very important. Before medical legalization in Germany, you had an extraordinary permission of the BfArM, which is the narcotic agency of Germany, with around 1,000 patients in Germany actually having that extraordinary permission and had to cover the cost by themselves, right? So very small market, plus no cost coverage. After March 2017, when the medical cannabis became legal on a broader scale in Germany, actually what happened is that doctors could prescribe medical cannabis for up to 81 indications, plus the health insurance companies had to cover the cost, right? So these are the big changes which happened with the legalization, with the total legalization of medical cannabis. And this, of course, led to a huge increase of patient numbers. Today, we are talking in Germany about roughly 200,000 medical cannabis patients, which makes Germany the biggest medical cannabis market in Europe so far. And at the beginning, back in 2017, the biggest challenge for the market was actually to meet the demand. Right, rapidly increasing demand, not enough supply. As you know, probably we have high standards for importing medical cannabis into the European Union or especially into Germany because of the EU GMP guidelines. We only had one supplier back in the days, which was Bedrocan, located in the Netherlands, right? And that was it, basically. We were one of the first back with a company called Canna Medical, the first company I helped build. We were one of the first who actually went to Canada, looked at the companies there to find out if they can actually help us to meet the supply, right? The demand, sorry, and to meet the supply we need. And in Canada, what we saw and what we found was that a lot of companies were not meeting EU GMP guidelines, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So what we had to do back in the days, we had to bring Canadian companies and cultivators up to the level of EU GMP standards in order to satisfy the demand. That happened over time. Some Canadian companies acquired wholesalers in Germany. Some wholesalers in Germany remained independent and got Canadian supply, right? And that led through actually a satisfaction of the huge demand we had in Germany. Also, what happened during 2018, 2019 is that Europe actually is gaining its independence more and more when it comes to cultivation, because we have a lot of cultivators, for example, in Portugal and also in Spain, which are importing or exporting cannabis to Germany in order to meet the supply. So at the beginning, if we look at the market, at the market level, we had a lot of wholesalers in the business. Actually, everybody was focusing on the supply side because we had to meet the huge demand. What we are seeing now, 5 years after legalization of medical cannabis, is that there are around 120 wholesalers in Germany, right? So the supply is pretty much met. But what is now important to do is actually to grant access to cannabis treatment, because what we estimate as Bloomberg Group is that only 2% of doctors in Germany actually ever prescribe medical cannabis, right? So right now, what is important in Germany and also what is the challenge for a patient is to find access and to find doctors. And that's why we, for example, founded Algea Care, which is a 100% subsidiary of Bloomwell, which is the biggest telemedicine platform for medical cannabis treatment in Europe, with more than 7,500 patients, which actually solves the need to grant that access, right? So that is a little bit the transition of the market from a supply market, right? Focusing on supply, now focusing on demand, with Bloomwell is taking the lead here.
And you've touched on it a little bit, but with Germany being really a bellwether of European cannabis, there are many people, of course, globally, eagerly watching developments in the country and hoping it continues its progressive stance on cannabis. And this will serve as a catalyst for other countries around Europe. At the back end of last year, lots of people were getting excited that there might be a new wave of regulatory change that might also open the door in the country to a new recreational cannabis market in addition to the medical market. Could you give our listener an overview of the current state of play here?
Okay, when it comes to the recreational market in Germany, of course, like you mentioned, we had an election in November. The new coalition was formed in Germany. And actually what they wrote down in the coalition agreement is that they will legalize cannabis for adult use through licensed shops. That is what they wrote down in the coalition agreement. What we need for this to happen are basically two things, right? One, the first thing is that we need a law on a national level, right? So we need a draft of a law. It needs to be passed through the Bundestag and Bundesrat, which are the two houses of Germany. And after that, it needs to be implemented. We have a quite good draft of the law already from the Green Party in Germany, drafted in 2018, but was declined by the Bundestag in 2020, which actually can solve or we can use as a basis for the new law. So that needs to happen on a national level. To summarize, draft the law, pass it through Bundestag, pass it through Bundesrat, the two houses of Germany, and then implement it. The second thing we need to take pay close attention to is international law, right? Like you know, also Germany is part of the UN Single Convention for Narcotic Drugs, right? And that means that a domestic market for cannabis is not legal. So what Germany needs to do in order to meet that criteria is, I think Germany needs to do the same as Bolivia did, right, with the legalization of coca leaves. And that means that you need to step out of the UN Single Convention, right, and step back in under the permission that you legalized a certain kind of substance. That's, like I said, is what Bolivia did with coca leaves, right? And I think Germany will take the same route and do the same, step out and step back in again with the permission that they legalized or that we legalized cannabis. And there comes a timeline with it when it comes to international law, stepping out and stepping in process within the UN. Mm-hmm. You need to file that every year till July, right? That you will do it. And then you will be able to, in the following year, in Q1, in January, to be exact, right? I don't think Germany will achieve a law or will implement a law this year, right? I think next year will be realistic, and then we can file stepping out and stepping back in again in July 2022, and I think a realistic 2023, sorry, and a realistic timeline for actually the process within the single convention is then Q1. 2024. I know, very complicated, and if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. But to make a long story short, I think 2024 is a realistic timeline for the legalization in Germany for cannabis.
A timeline which is not actually that far away. And on the assumption that it does follow this sort of timeline and the beginning of 2024 is sort of where the wheels will start turning on recreational cannabis within Germany. Nicholas, what do you see the market looking like within the country? It's an interesting one as Europe and countries within Europe have been medical first. So turning from a medical model into a medical and recreational model is going to be an interesting shift. How do you see the landscape developing as these regulatory changes come about?
Great question. I mean, we saw that transition also in other countries, right? We saw it in the US, of course, fragmented, but still we saw it in some states of the US, and we saw it, for example, also in Canada. I think a lot of mistakes were made in Canada, and I think also in the US. So what we need to do as Germany is that we need to learn from these mistakes and don't do them again in order to be a benchmark or role model for successful legalization of cannabis. And the biggest goal of legalization of cannabis, of course, is draining the black market. And that is actually the success factor of a successful legalization. The issue in what I see, for example, in the US is that you still have a fragmented market, right? No federal legalization. You cannot export. You cannot do cross-border exchanges of product, right? Which is a huge lack in the market in the US. And I think also a mistake what Canada did when we're talking about big mistakes is that you didn't have sufficient distribution channels when it came to legalization. In order to drain the black market, you need sufficient distribution channels, right? You need enough supply, and you need high quality product, and you need the right pricing. These are things we learn from Canada and the US, which we should not do in Germany. So why am I telling you this? Because it's very important for Germany that every single stakeholder, right, which is part of the industry, not only the industry itself, also lawmakers, politicians, policemen, and of course, also the industry, need to come together and need to stick their heads together to eventually have a successful legalization in Germany and be a role model for other European countries to follow. That is important because Germany, with 82 to 84 million inhabitants, is potentially the biggest domestic cannabis market in the world when becoming legalized, right? So what our challenge is, not only that we have to legalize cannabis, but we also have to satisfy the need of the biggest cannabis market in the world. And this is roughly around, if we're talking about only flowers, 400 tons of products, right? And that product needs to be high quality, right? Because we need to, like said before, we need to dry out the black market, and it needs to have a pricing which is also competitive when compared to the black market. If done correctly, and if we have a successful legalization, that's what we're also working on as a Bloomberg Group, then, of course, 16 billion market value, 83 to 84 million inhabitants, 400 tons of demand annually, right, on the spot. And, of course, a huge opportunity for all the companies active in the space in Germany.
Supply is certainly something that I want us to touch on in a moment. But something you mentioned earlier was learning lessons from Canada, states in America, other places around the world. Now, with Germany also having a federal system, albeit somewhat different to that in the US, is there a chance that the German cannabis market, once it becomes online recreationally, might also see some fragmentations? What's the appetite between the different regions, different municipalities in the country for a fully legal adult use market?
I think that it's very important, right, to have federal legalization. That is most important. And that's what we will have in Germany. But it's also very important that we have a national law which is implemented in the same way at every jurisdiction in the country. Right? If we have different states in Germany who would independently implement some laws, right, we will also have a fragmented market like the US. Because, for example, if we are looking at Bavaria, Bavaria is way more conservative than, for example, Berlin, mm-hmm, right, mm-hmm. In Germany. And I think if, for example, the different states in Germany or the different regions are able to control, for example, the dispensaries they're allowing, controlling e-commerce, then we will see way less dispensaries, for example, in Bavaria, right? Because more conservative. That's also, by the way, what we see in the medical market, that we have less doctors prescribing in Bavaria than they do in the in Northern Germany, for example, or Western Germany. But nevertheless, when it comes to the recreational market, it's very important. If we're talking about federal legalization, it needs to be federal, there needs to be a national law, and it needs to be implemented in the same way. Otherwise, we have downfalls within the country and different regulations, and that will not be sufficient to actually drain the black market on the countryside, in the cities, and in different states within Germany.
Now, with regards to supply of cannabis products, as the demand increases within the country, where do you see this coming from? Do you think it's likely to be predominantly served by North American operators and North American or perhaps South American or Latin American operators exporting product in, perhaps some of those MSOs that have European operations, or indeed European organizations that are cultivating product themselves within the continent, perhaps some of the companies that were successful in winning the tender a couple of years back?
Also a great question, Jonathan. Let's zoom out a little bit, right? So I mean, the most important thing for draining out the black market, like I said, is to have supply. In order to have supply, I think Germany will still rely heavily on imports, like we also do in the medical cannabis space, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because, as you know, we don't have the best weather in Germany, obviously. But, I mean, still, we can have great indoor cultivation in Germany for high-quality flowers. That would not be an issue. But I think in order to drain the black market, pricing is a factor and is a very important factor, right? And labor costs and electricity costs in Germany are not, you know, competitive with actually, for example, Southern Europe, right? Portugal, Spain, et cetera. And I think that's where the product actually has to come from in order to meet the price we need to satisfy the market and drain the black market. So yes, I think domestic cultivation for medical use, we have it right now, but it's only 2.7 tons annually for medical purposes, which is basically nothing, right? We imported 20 tons last year for medical purposes. And I think also Germany will not be the flagship market for cannabis cultivation in the future. So what I think, imports need to be allowed, right? Also for recreational cannabis. And what I think is that Southern Europe would be a great place to cultivate high quality cannabis. Not only Southern Europe, I also think that South America, for example, Colombia can go online for the recreational market. They have very low cost when it comes to product, when it comes to flowers, when it comes to extraction. South Africa could be a player. I think the U.S. is actually blocking itself, right? Because, like you know, the U.S. cannot export product. We found a way through Bloomwell Group, which I cannot, you know, which is still strictly confidential, but I can touch a little bit on it, that we can actually import genetics, right, to partners of us and cultivate them in Europe. So companies like Cookies, companies like other recreational companies from California, which have high quality of genetics and high quality flowers, because like we also all know is that California, when it comes to product, is high end, right, top level. And these genetics can be brought into Europe through us, right? Through the seed, and can be cultivated on demand, so we can bring it to the German market. Because we also think that in a recreational market, these special genetics with high yield and low prices will be very helpful to satisfy the need. So that is also a possibility which we can have. Canada, I think, still will play a role, right? But on the long run, I think also for medical use, you need to cultivate in Europe. It's cheaper, it's easier, and it's way faster. So that will be the long-term vision for satisfying 400 tons of cannabis annually in Germany.
And for the future recreational market in Germany, do you see there being a divergence in terms of product quality requirements, insofar as that for the medical market, it's very clear that product has to be GMP certified? Do you see this being the case for the recreational market, or will there perhaps be some more leniency around this? How do you see things rolling out here?
Yes. I mean, like, you know, in a medical market, we have EU GMP, which is basically the highest regulation which you can have when it comes to pharmaceutical products. I think for the recreational market, it will be, of course, lower than EU GMP because you have not severely ill or sick patients, which actually need have a low immune system, for example. So these are things which you would need under EU GMP, microbiology tests, and so on and so forth. I think that will not be the case for the recreational market, but I can assume or I can guess that we have something close to GACP, right? Which is good agricultural praxis for the cannabis cultivation, which is also met by certain companies within the European Union, right? And also overseas. And I think it will be close to that standard because, like we all know, in Germany, it's very important to have high quality products, right? And we will keep an eye on that. And also the regulator will keep an eye on that. So nevertheless, if imports are allowed or not, Germany would be the first country to allow imports. I think we have to, otherwise we cannot satisfy the demand. There is a way how you can bring GAC products still under the medical regulation into Germany and also for recreational market. So it's important.
Would that be for whole flower products or bringing in GACP product that would then be the extracts would be processed under GMP regulations?
That is only for flowers now, what I'm talking about. So GACP, of course, is important when it comes to flowers. Mm-hmm. But I think also the flowers which gets extracted finally, or who get converted into oils, they also need to meet the GACP guidelines, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that we need EU GMP guidelines for the extraction, but still it will be close to pharmaceutical guidelines in general.
Now, Nicholas, asking you to put on your Nostradamus hat, what products and product formats do you think will be the sort of the winners when it comes to a future German recreational market? Albeit there's not a legal recreational market at the moment. Of course, there is still data and trends that can be gleaned in countries around the world in terms of their consumers and how they like to consume cannabis. What product formats do you think will really be the bellwethers here in Germany when the legal market rolls out?
In terms of product development, when it comes to the recreational market, of course, it will be way more interesting than in a medical market. In the medical market right now in Germany, we have extracts and we have flowers. That's basically it. In a recreational market, I think the most products, and that's what we also see overseas, for example, in the US or in Canada. Of course, we will have edibles, very important segment. I think not everyone who consumes cannabis wants to vape or wants to smoke it, right? We have pre-rolled joints, which will be a huge segment, what I see. And of course, also food and beverage products, right? Not only like cookies or something like that, but also drinks, for example, will be something what will be interesting in the future and in a recreational market. And therefore, you also need capacity inside of Germany to actually formulate these products, right, and to produce these products to meet the market demand. And that will also be a challenge for companies in Germany in the future. So I think it will be way more important for a company to actually produce or manufacture a final product than actually cultivating a flower.
Now, Nicholas, something that really caught my eye and something I mentioned in the introduction was your $10 million seed funding round, one of the largest seen in European cannabis. Could you give some insight on how you approached this funding round?
So, I mean, basically, Bloomwell Group is the biggest and only vertical integrated company, cannabis company in Germany right now with more than 250 employees. And like you mentioned, we closed the largest seed investment round for a European cannabis company in November last year and raised more than $10 million US dollars. We see ourselves as the innovation front of the German cannabis industry and are actually the only company which has a D2C focus. We have three wholly owned subsidiaries under the Bloomwell umbrella. One is Ilio Santé. The second one, and the heart basically of Bloomwell Group, is Algea Care. Like I've mentioned before, the biggest telemedicine platform for cannabis treatments in Europe, with more than 7,500 patients on our platform and more than 85 doctors in Germany. And the second one is Breezy, which is actually the only integrated online pharmacy and first cannabis lifestyle brand and community brand in Germany. So like you see, we have the whole vertical integration except for cultivation, which is not interesting in Germany, like I've mentioned before. And that is what actually got M8, and Boris Jordan, who is the founder of Curaleaf, so excited about the company and also seeing the market developing in Germany. And back in November, we haven't had actually the coalition agreement till now, but I mean, we could see that something is happening within the political landscape. And Boris also saw that and compared to Curaleaf, right, his company, which he founded, they actually did the same what we have to do right now, the transition from a medical cannabis company to becoming a recreational cannabis company also, right? And solving patients and solving and serving patients and serving customers, right? So we thought, and we are very selective when it comes to our investors, right? So we thought and we saw that having Boris Jordan as part of our team, and he's also a board member, which we are very proud of, is very helpful for us as a company to lead that transition and to satisfy both needs, having access for patients to the treatment and to high quality product, and also having access for consumers in a potentially biggest cannabis market in the world, in Germany, for high quality products, and how to actually build that company, what we want to be, a market leader, not only in the medical space, which we are now, also in the recreational cannabis market in the future.
So with this investment war chest secured and your advisors and investors in place that can bring a wealth of experience, as a business leader, how do you go about deploying those funds? You have this 10 million in the bank. Where are you looking to deploy that? Where needs the greatest development, both in terms of initiatives within your organization and what you're seeing within the domestic industry?
Yeah, great question. I mean, we are gearing up for the recreational market right now, right? So when it comes to the vertical integration and when it comes to every single part, of course, Ilios Santé as the B2B platform needs to also be active in a recreational market. So what we are doing there is actually ramping up storage capacity, right? Building the platform, building the online platform for B2B customers also in the future, for example, for dispensaries, not only for pharmacies right now. For Algea Care, we are actually developing our platform. So a lot of costs going into algorithms, for example, to track which patient is actually sufficient for which indication is sufficient for which kind of treatment and which kind of flower. And of course, for Breezy, the fully integrated online pharmacy, in the future, of course, it will be also a e-commerce platform for cannabis, right? So these are the three things we are doing right now with the funds, but nevertheless, we started a new fundraising round in 420, right? So this month, a couple of days ago, and we are actually gearing up for the next one because we see a lot of capital which needs to be deployed in order to be ready and to use the 2.5 years to 3 years which we have now to have a head start in the recreational market.
And Nicholas, with our time drawing a little bit to the close, perhaps a final question, and for that, what I'd ask you is, with the market in Germany developing at such a pace, and perhaps even the recreational market coming online by early 2024, what is the best way, do you reckon, for global overseas operators that currently don't have a footprint in the European cannabis industry to get into the European cannabis industry? And perhaps as an extension of that, what type of industry collaboration are you currently seeing at the moment, and how would you like to see that developed over time?
What we see in the German market, of course, is in the medical market at the beginning, a lot of Canadian companies got into the space, bought wholesalers in Germany, and they have a footprint right now in the medical market. But I mean, in order to get a foothold in the German market and the upcoming recreational market as a company from overseas, and especially from the US, Canada, you need to approach companies which are active in the space and which are actually know what they're doing, right? That's most important. So without a partner taking a lead or getting a product into the potentially biggest cannabis market in the world, there's no chance, right? So I mean, we as a company and we as Bloomwell Group, we of course also rely on the knowledge on the cultivation side, because we don't do cultivation, so definitely we need partners for that. And of course also we need we need partners to learn from them, how, for example, they did it in California, how they did it in Canada in a recreational market. And that's also very important for us when it comes to partnerships. So we are always happy to receive inquiries, and we have the perfect platform to actually get product into Germany in the medical market and also get a head start for the recreational market.
Well, Nicholas, it's been absolutely great speaking with you, and myself, and I'm sure the listener will be eagerly watching how the German market develops. But for the time being, I want to say thank you so much for joining us on the Professionally Cannabis podcast.
Thanks, Jonathan. It was a pleasure.